Hey everybody, this is Flavio Romeo, and on this episode of the Towncast, we had the opportunity of talking to Christine Marico, who is the mayor of Glen Rock, New Jersey, and she shares her past, her history in town, growing up in town, and what encouraged her to run for mayor to begin with, and then on the eve of the election, election day being tomorrow, 2023, we encourage all of you that regardless of who you vote for, just make sure you get out and vote, or else don't complain on social media. All right, enjoy the episode, everybody. All right, everybody, so here we are. We're in the inner sanctum of Glen Rock Borough Hall, and we're going to be talking to Mayor Marico. Tomorrow's the election, and we had her on about 2 years ago, right in the heart of the pandemic, and we talked to her when we were doing the audio. But now we thought, you know, day before, let's go on and let's see what's happened over the last 3 years and why she would even consider running again. All right, hang on. All right, Mrs. Mayor, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I know that the campaign trail is quite a rigorous climb.
So, I'm on the struggle bus, but tomorrow is election day, so it's all been out there.
Yeah.
So I just hope that everyone goes out. The most important thing is people must vote.
Yeah.
If you don't vote.
Regardless, just vote.
It doesn't matter who you're voting for. Clearly, it does, in my opinion. But in the general sense, if you don't take advantage of the hard-fought rights that we were given to be able to vote for our elected officials, I really think you should be not allowed to complain.
Right. No complaints allowed if you don't go out and vote.
Right.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. So we met 2 years ago.
Yes,
we did. I think it was like your first full year in the heat of the pandemic.
It was October. So the pandemic started that March.
Yeah, March, yeah.
It was October, and I had just come from a car parade for Sidney Schuster.
Yes.
Who had turned 100. And ironically, when you and I, we've been reconnecting along the way, he just turned 102.
Yeah.
And I went to his house on his birthday. I called his daughter first and made sure, like, is he able to take visitors? He's still at home? Oh, yeah, he's still at home. So I went over and I brought him his favorite ice cream again. So every year since that first year, I've been going back to see him.
That's awesome.
And when we met outside Stone and Rail.
Yeah.
And I had just run into CVS because I took a beautiful picture of Sidney and his daughter. And I had it framed. And I gave it to him that day. So
that was a beautiful event. The fire trucks passed by, the police.
So special.
Yeah, it was great.
And he's such a sweet, kind man.
Yeah.
And when I went last year I went back again. I brought the kids. They sang happy birthday, gave him his ice cream. He loves, it is cherry vanilla from Van Dyke's. And Van Dyke's closes at a certain point in the wintertime.
Oh, right.
So I asked him, like, can we like buy whatever's left over before you're done for the year and I could just put it on ice somewhere for him? But this year I actually was invited inside his house. He has a wonderful aide and he was eating dinner and he was like, oh, my mayor's here. And unfortunately we were watching the news together and he was very upset about what's happening overseas.
Yeah.
Clearly all of our friends of the religious faith, they're hurting right now.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to go and vote, at least call out to any of your religious friends of your Jewish faith and ask them, how are they doing? Are they okay? Just check in on them. I wound up staying there for almost an hour and a half. I mean, I could talk to him forever. So
yeah.
He's like my favorite person. And you can edit this down as much as you want because I don't know.
No, I don't like to edit. I think this is great. I thought it was special. I thought it was special that you took the time to do that when you did.
Right.
The first time, and that would have been enough. But
right.
The fact that you went back, and that's great.
You know what it was? And we talked about that it was a relationship between him and his daughter, because my father died when I was 29, and I don't have that. And now here is his daughter, who is not young herself.
Yeah.
Her dad's 100.
Yeah, she must be at least 70.
She looks like she's 60.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that. She's a beautiful person inside now. Yeah, and
that's wonderful.
That's what keeps him alive. He never drank, he doesn't do drugs, never. Did he say he smoked? I don't remember. So I always ask when people hit 100, I'm like, what's your secret?
Yeah. Ice cream.
But
from Van Dyke's.
It's cherry vanilla ice cream from Van Dyke's. And it's his family.
Yeah.
Basically his daughter. He has a son that doesn't live close, two sons that don't live close by, but she is the reason. And he's just a phenomenal human being.
Yeah.
So it's funny that I just spent time with him, and now here we are. It's November.
Yeah.
And
you grew up here. You grew up in Glen Rock.
I grew up here.
Right.
Yes, I did.
So you've seen all the changes over the years, and so when did you make that decision to run to serve your town? Was it town council first?
Council first. I never made the decision to run. I was asked, and I was like, yeah, let me think about that. My life is a little crazy right now because I just had the twins.
Yeah.
And the man was like, oh, I'll come back. You know, think about it, and I'll come back. So he came back the second time, and he had the petition already signed with enough signatures to put me on the ballot. And I was like, okay, this is happening.
I guess I'm doing this now.
I'm doing this. And I ran, and I won, and I took office in 2016. And we had a diverse, great crew. I loved everyone that I worked with, and I think we made a lot of really good moves, a lot of strong ordinances, but more policy and procedure. You know, I made sure that we were following the rules because I was a paralegal and I did municipal law at that time, and it was so interesting, and I kind of kept everyone on track. It was me and then Mary Jane Sirago. She was she actually retired off of the council and moved to be closer to her family. But she had the grasp on Robert's rules, like procedure, procedure, procedure. We need a motion, we need a second.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're out of order. And I was always like, okay. And since she stepped down, I've kind of taken on my Robert's rules obsession. I've taken all these courses on it. I want to get certified in it. And it's been a really good run though.
Yeah, so you were on town council, and from there you ran.
I ran for a second term.
Okay.
For town council, so I served 3 years, ran again, and during that fourth year, Mayor Packer, because mayor's a 4-year term, council's a 3, he pulled me aside and he's like, "I have to tell you something. We're moving, and I'm not going to be running next year. So I really think that you'd be the best person to step up and lead." And I was like, "Oh gosh, okay."
With being a mom with twins.
Yeah, and at that point the twins were in kindergarten, so they were 2 when I first won. That picture of Maddie, she's so stinking cute, and yeah, they were in kindergarten that year.
So you won mayor in 19. Was it
November 19? Of 19 was the election, right?
Because then here comes your inauguration, early 20.
And then we start January 2nd, 2020,
and boom,
I do solemnly swear. And
2 months later,
it was the end of February when we started hearing about it.
Yeah.
We had that first meeting with our OEM, and I was like, what is this? What is this?
Yeah.
And then a week or two later, we're in lockdown, and it just kind of spiraled from there.
Yeah. Well, when you started seeing all the stores close up and people losing jobs, and it had, you know, they couldn't.
Well, the first part of it was, it's only going to be 2 weeks.
I know, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And I, at that time, so when I ran for mayor, I had taken a new job. I was working in a criminal law firm, criminal defense. So exciting. Loved it. And I'm always very careful to not let people know where I work, because if you're working in a criminal defense firm, I had nothing that showed I was related at all to anything with Glen Rock, because they don't know who's coming in the door.
Yeah. They don't know where you live.
Them to know anything about you. So when it's a lockdown, the courts were closed. That was great. Courts closed, schools were closed, hung out for 2 weeks with the kids. And it was like, whoa, this is what it's like to just be us. Because we're always going in different directions.
Yeah.
And then it was, okay, we're going to stay closed for a little while longer. And I was already reading the room. And I was like, they're not going back this year. And that was rough. So our law office had to stay open because we couldn't meet. There was no virtual court yet, but they were already working on that. So I'm at one end of the dining room table, you know, writing motions and supporting clients. And the kids are on the other end, each with a different kindergarten teacher doing two different lesson plans. And my husband was working from home downstairs. It was just chaos.
I can't even imagine. And then
every night there'd be an update. You'd have the county call. You'd have the governor's call. And some of it was on Zoom. Some of it was just phone conferences. And I basically, my living room became my office.
Right.
And the kids would be in and out. And so funny, my son used to sit and listen. And he was picking up on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be an attorney.
He's going to do something.
Yeah.
He's got a very strong sense of commitment and the need to help others.
Yeah.
Which I hope is something that he's gotten from watching me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas my daughter has a very strong sense of justice and doing what's right and, you know, being true and honest and integrity. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
the two of you could merge. That'd be easy. But yeah, no. So it really hit me. It wasn't so much when the businesses were closing, but it was that waiting game. So every night we would get a file from the county health officer of how many cases you had in your town. I remember for days, the first couple weeks, nothing. But then all of a sudden, Ridgewood. Ridgewood has one, Ridgewood has two, Ridgewood's got four, Ridgewood has 10. And then Fairlawn. And then it was Hohokus and Waldwick. And then we got our first case and I was like, here. And I was tracking it, and I actually have a book at home with every night as the numbers would come out. I was making charts and graphs of like where it was seemed to be clustering.
Right, right.
And it was all in the high density areas, you know, people that live with the older generation, people that were working frontline jobs, people that had to be outdoors or not outdoors, but outside in public. They had no choice. They couldn't stay home. Like, we could and work from home.
Sure.
They had to be, you know, doing their jobs. And I thought maybe we wouldn't be as hit as bad, but then as the numbers started going up and up and up and up, then it became, you would get the email with the number at night, and if you got a phone call, that means someone died.
Oh.
And I remember the first phone call I got, I lost it. I broke down. I'm like, yeah, but we're doing everything right. This isn't fair, you know? And you know, the public demanded so much transparency, and these are HIPAA violations. You know, like, they wouldn't tell me who it was. And I'd say, was it male? Was it female? Can you give me an age range?
They couldn't give you anything.
Not a thing. The first one I think they did tell me, it was a senior citizen, and I believe it was a male. After that, they shut down all of that. But I would still get the call. You had one more tonight. You had two tonight. Mm.
Do you know how many cases in total you had in Glenrock?
I do. I actually have a spreadsheet. It's on my work computer, though. But I have the total number as the last time we were notified. It was a lot. But the deaths related to the amount of cases we had wasn't as bad. I think we lost 13 total. And that's the other issue now. So I wanted to know who those 13 people are. So, you know, as I'm doing these meetings and work and homeschooling, I'm reading the paper every morning. I'm checking the obituaries, like died suddenly. Nope, that's not that. And trying to figure out based upon when I got the call, was it this person? Was it that person? And a lot of some people just, they came right out and they would call me and say, hey, Mayor, you know, it was my father or my husband or my wife. I'm just letting you know.
Heartbreaking.
And it's no one's fault. Like, we didn't ask for this to come here. And because I always, in the back of my head, I was thinking forward, like, someday we're going to get through this. And is this going to be like a 9/11 thing? Like, can we have a memorial somewhere? Can we have something which is designated to those lives that we lost during COVID? I don't think people are ready for that just yet. And
yeah, we're still in it.
Still in it.
Yeah.
But we've come a very long way. And now we're in the new normal. And I hate that term. Unprecedented times.
Yeah, new normal.
Yeah, new normal and unprecedented times. I never want to hear those two phrases again. Because there's a lot of precedent at this point.
Yeah, right, exactly. So COVID aside, what were your biggest challenges when you first took office?
My biggest challenges when I first took office.
I mean, at the time you were dealing with, you know, you were dealing with all this COVID stuff.
So, yeah, and I had all these wonderful plans and ideas, and that's kind of my thing, is if I tell someone I want to do X, Y, and Z, and it's on the record, you're going to bet that I'm going to get X, Y, and Z done. I don't say things just to say them.
Right.
I'm always very careful about my words, and that's just from my career. It's like, you know, your word is everything, and...
And once they come out, they can't ever put them back in your mouth.
Don't promise something you can't deliver on.
Yeah.
And that used to be my biggest bone I would pick with people that would, you know, get up to the microphone or others that would run for office. Like, well, if I was there, I would do, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And I'd say, but how? But what's your plan?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't respond. So every time I said, well, if I were to win, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And here is how. Step one, step two, step three, step four. So a lot of things that I wanted to do that first year were put on the back burner, which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there was clearly more important things to do.
Oh, yeah.
But now that we came, once we came out of it, it was like, oh, okay. So let's get this ball rolling again. And I over-prepare for everything. And I love that it's just us in here because I hate when people say, you're such a politician. Because I'm not. I'm a human and I'm a person.
Right.
And I also have like debilitating anxiety. And in order for me to go and run those meetings, I write everything out. I practice what I'm going to say. I make sure that if there's something on the agenda that I think, oh, maybe someone won't understand what this means, I will try to come up with a scenario where I can address every possible issue someone may have with what it is.
Right.
So this way I can respond and engage and educate. So there's a lot of work that goes into prepping for meetings and agendas. And candidly, at the beginning of the year, so in December we finalized the calendar. I have a long document, and each date of every public meeting I already have noted. And then I have, the first thing I go and I put, okay, October is, you know, Friends of the Library Month. Or, you know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I put in all the proclamations, what meetings those have to be done by. And then I go through, I'm like, okay, and I think last year we did this and this month, and I'll add those things back in. And then I try to develop the agenda like it's telling a story. You know, like, here's how we're gonna start in January, and here's how I expect to get to December.
Right.
And then I work backwards. Like, if I wanna have an ordinance for veterans banners,
I know, which we're going to talk about because they're pretty,
you know, you
pretty
have to
spectacular.
Think you need to do two readings, and the readings have to be 30 days apart. Not all meetings are 30 days apart. So then I'm like, okay, and I work backwards. Okay, so I don't want to have this done for, ideally it would have been done for Veterans Day. They will be up this Memorial Day. But then I work backwards from Veterans Day. And then I know where to put it on the agenda.
Right. When to start the conversation.
When to start
because
the conversation.
Nothing turns on a dime.
No.
No. People think that.
No.
People think if they say something, it's going to change in 2 days.
No.
Yeah.
And that's partially, I can't fault someone that doesn't understand how it works. So I actually went and created, do we have a copy of it? I do. A borough council reference manual. This was to onboard new members of the council because I thought, okay, when I moved up to mayor, we had to appoint someone to take my...
Your council
seat. The unfinished term of my former seat. And then we had two people running for office that I think that were new that year. So here I am, I'm becoming a mayor and I got to drag three new people in with me. And I want to make sure everyone starts off knowing everything they need to know. So I wrote this manual of like how each department interacts, how you as a mayor and a council interact with the public, how an ordinance is done, how a resolution is done, what's the purpose of this and that. Who you need to contact, what the department heads do.
And wait, I think you should send that out to every...
It's on the borough website.
Is it?
I wrote a resolution. I said, we need to adopt this, and it needs to go on the borough website. So,
well, how do people find it?
You go to glenrocknj.org, and it's under mayor and council, and it's the council manual.
The council, so there it is.
It explains everything. And then we started doing Borough 101. We did it on Zoom twice because of the pandemic. We've done it a couple times in person. But no one comes.
Yeah.
No one comes.
It's easier to complain from their house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm gonna post the address right under here. So it's gonna it's glenrocknj.org.
NJ, yeah.
And then you go to
nj.net, I think. .org is the public schools. Hold on, I'll tell you exactly what it is in a second though. But keep going.
Yeah, I'll put it up.
Because then I went a step further this year, and I created a guide for all boards, committees, and commissions. Because a lot of people that are serving on a board, committee, or commission don't really know what their parameters are. And I get it. People want to be very overzealous, and you want to get in and do work. But you have to understand, if your board was created by statute, no?
Yeah.
That you can't represent that you're a decision maker of the borough. You're there to advise the borough.
Right.
So, and then I also created this online application, because that's another complaint I would hear often, that, you know, well, all the appointments are made and they're very biased. Oh, no, you just have to fill out an application, and I send it out in the weekly email blast. Here's a link to the application. We need more members on Shade Tree Advisory. We're the Board of Health. And I made that available online, and people, they will fill it out. They pick their top three choices where they want to volunteer, and then I save them. I actually have a binder, it's actually up there, of all of the applications I've received. So as positions become open, boom, who's next on the list?
Nice.
As long as you're qualified.
Yeah.
And the qualifications aren't like rigorous, but you know, I want someone with a background. If you want to do the zoning board, you have to have a background in real estate's helpful, law is helpful, planning is really good for that. Or if you want to be on the Board of Health, you need to have some type of medical background.
Sure.
You could be a doctor, you could be a nurse, you could be a healthcare practitioner, you could be a very interested person that's very much inspired by sharing information. Someone that's really great at expressing themselves and making Canva, you know, those infographics.
Yeah.
Because that's what those boards need.
Yeah.
You need people to think, you need people to act, and then people to execute. So I think I've kind of made a really good job of doing all that. So.
And what would you say, it's over the last 4 years, right?
Four years. Gosh, I'm finishing the fourth year. It's my eighth year total right now that I've been serving the borough.
So what would you say in the 4 years are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? It's a loaded question. It depends on the day.
Yeah.
Selfishly, from where I sit and where I started from, I am most proud of the fact that I had brought to the council an idea to have a re-examination of all of our borough codes and ordinances. So we hired a company, and they come in and they go through all of your laws, and they say, okay, this one no longer stands, this is out of date, this doesn't even refer to the right place. Because if you're watching this all the time, things can change, and if they're not updated properly, you have ordinances that go like this.
Yeah.
If you do something wrong, this is who's responsible, that person's responsible. So I had to advocate for that. I had to lobby for support. And by the time I became mayor was when we got it passed, that we hired the company. And then they sent you like a binder like this big of all the changes. And then they give you options, like, here's what you can do to fix it. You can delete the entire ordinance, you can, you know, update the fee schedule, you can do X, Y, or Z. And I created a committee, they went through page by page, they got it all done. And this was all during the pandemic, by the way. And then they send you one big ordinance which corrects everything.
Really?
Yeah. It's huge. I mean, that's that's me with my legal dorkiness. But I would say after that, getting Faber done, I mean, that was a long uphill battle that started well before I even came to the council. It's beautiful. It's right across from my house. I love it. My kids love it. And I invited, and that's the other thing. I don't feel comfortable taking credit for things that I have not 100% done. So when we had the ribbon cutting, there was some scuttle about it, like, oh, why are you doing a photo op? The kids aren't allowed to use it yet. Well, I did the photo op prior to the field being released to us, so that the day that field was ready and to go, kids Right. Have at it.
Yeah, nice.
I don't want to hold up anyone. But I invited the former mayor. I invited former members of the council, like going back to when this whole...
When it started,
which is about, I'm going to say between 10 and 15 years.
Wow.
And they all came. And it was funny because the mayor before Bruce Packer was John Van Curen. And I played shooting star soccer in town. He was my shooting star coach.
Aww.
And it was always bittersweet when I won that election because he lost. And he is a good person. He's a good man. I have nothing but nice things to say about him. But I can't imagine how that felt, you know, knowing that you're doing all of the right things and yet here you lose. Because he would never say hello to me. He would never acknowledge me. And I felt like I was back to that, like, that 13-year-old playing soccer.
Right.
So when I invite him to the opening, I'm like, do you want to go kick the ball around? And we actually kicked the ball around the field.
Oh, how fun.
And I'm like, do you remember we went to Springfield, Massachusetts for this tournament? Or we were up in Toronto for this? And he's like, where's your memory? It's who I am. I'm obsessed about everything. I remember every detail. But that was really special.
Well, I remember what you told me before we started, you know, we turned the camera on. So when you told your daughter that you were thinking about running or not thinking.
I asked my children and my husband, because honestly, I can do this job. I've proven that beyond a shadow of a doubt. However, it comes at an expense to my family because they are young. My kids were 2 when I was first sworn in. They're 10 now. And people forget, yes, I am your mayor. But no, I don't have strings and I'm not controlling every aspect of the town from garbage pickup to what team your son gets picked on for.
Even though many people believe you do.
People do, and that's fine. I can excuse all of that. But my family are the recipient when people get angry or when people are upset. And 9 times out of 10, it's mainly they don't understand how the process works. But when you have Facebook and social media, people feel emboldened 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah. Strong.
Tight. And I'm like, hey, I'd rather that you type it out and you show everyone exactly your true colors. Good for you. But it's got to be hard for my husband to read things when people go low.
Yeah.
And my kids are old enough now where, I mean, they've been told at school a couple times. They both ran for student council last year and won, and I was beyond shocked and proud of them. But at the end of the day, people would say, well, you only won because your mom's the mayor. And I'm like, I have nothing to do with the elections in the third grade.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. So I always ask them, I go, are you comfortable with mommy running again? And Brayden was, yeah, of course. Like, this is great. Do this. And Maddie was like, yeah, you have to do this again. I look at my husband. I'm like, are you in? He's like, he's always in. Whatever I want to do, he supports, and vice versa. So that aside, there are days when you feel beaten up, exhausted. I still haven't planned their 10th birthday party. Their birthday was in August. I was busy doing veterans banners and getting ready for a campaign, and a lot of other things came up at that time. And I said, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this again. I don't know if I should do this anymore. I should just quit right now. And Madeline's like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. This is my 10-year-old, my little sweet 10-year-old. And I'm like, Maddie, why? She was like, if you quit, then they win. And if you quit, what did she say? How did she put it? She said, don't quit. You need to run because you do a good job and you inspire people and you do good things. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm inspiring anyone. And she was like, if you weren't my mom, I wouldn't have run for student council. And I was like,
oh, you inspired her. Inspired them both.
But I didn't want them to be inspired to get into decision making or politics per se. I want to inspire them to, you know, be respectful of the community they live in and to give back. And I don't think giving back at your student council is quite on the same level. But all the more, I'm like, go for it. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You're right. So people can say whatever they want about me. As Braden says, I'm rubber, you're glue. It's going to bounce off me and stick to you. Because at the end of the day, I know I'm putting in my best effort for the benefit of everyone.
Yeah.
And never selfishly. I have never done anything that's only going to benefit myself. And if that's my legacy, that's my legacy. That's fine. If I win tomorrow, that's amazing. If I lose, that's okay too. But I really, I know that I'm the best person for this job.
Well, it's easy for people, like you said, to get, you know, they become internet strong and powerful, yeah, because they're behind their screen. And on the other side of it, you know, people don't share their happiness. Like, they don't share what, you know, things that they've seen, that you've done, that the council has done, and that things that were accomplished in town.
Right.
It's easier for people to complain about stuff than to share their praise or to say thank you. Thank you for what you did. I really appreciate that.
Right.
So oftentimes you have to find that within yourself. Like, I like what I what just happened. This whole thing was, I like that. So you have to find that within yourself. And I encourage everybody that's watching and listening that, you know, share a word of encouragement. You know, just the same way that you would say to your children or to your friends, hey, hang in there. You're doing the best you can. You know, so share a word of encouragement. And speaking of encouragement, when I walked in here, I saw these amazing banners, and we're going to show them right now.
I'm so excited.
So tell me about this program.
So back in January, I make a list. Every year we go to the League of Municipalities in November, and that's where you go to these conferences, and there's all these breakout sessions where you talk about up and coming ideas or issues that are going to affect your towns. And one year people were talking about these veterans banners. They had a table probably at the League, because a big conference where you walk through. And I was like, you know, I really want to do that when I have time, and never got back to it. And it just happens to be. So I'm vice president of the New Jersey Conference of Mayors. So all the mayors in New Jersey, and this goes back to COVID. I was so active on all of those phone calls with the county, with the state, with the governor's office, that I made a name for myself as being kind of like, let's get this done. So from that, I've made a lot of really good friends. And one of them in particular is a former veteran, a former mayor. And he pulled me aside one day and he goes, hey, Chris, you know, do you have banners in Glen Rock yet? Because we have them in my town, Saddlebrook. And I was like, no, we don't. I said it, and I'm kind of at a loss of where to start. And he goes, I have a guy. I'm gonna introduce you. And he goes, and then you need to take it from there. I said, thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your service. I sent an email to the man's name that he sent me. And it turns out there's a member of the Saddlebrook VFW who lives in Glen Rock. But Saddlebrook's very much more active than Glen Rock.
Yeah.
And no fault to Glen Rock. You know, everyone has their comfort level, but Saddlebrook, they have a very big, like a meeting space, and they do a lot of events. So he's active there. So I emailed back and forth with him. I said, listen, I gotta get together with my VFW guy, because that's how it's run in other towns. The VFW will run it. I know Fairlawn's an exception. They have their own veterans department, which is fully funded, and we don't have that type of money in Glen Rock, unfortunately. So I started meeting with them, and then there was another group that came forward, and they were like, oh, but we want to do this now. And I'm like, oh, but I was already working, and I thought I had made the right connections, and lines were crossed somewhere. So it was kind of presented to the veterans that, you know, I had blown them off and I didn't support them, which could not be further from the truth. I mean, this is really something that should be done for Veterans Day, which is not now, but Memorial Day is now. So, wait, did I have that wrong? No, Memorial Day is when it should be done, because that's the somber one. Veterans Day, it's more of a celebratory event. This is more of a somber thank you, appreciate your service. So long story short, I wound up getting everyone into the room together, and we brought in a vendor who designs them, and I brought in the Historical Society because I knew she had all of the photos. And knowing that our first round was going to be limited to downtown, I then went to all of the monuments in town and I wrote down everyone's names and I counted it out and we had 33. But there was a couple we couldn't find pictures for, and then one, there's someone's name on there who shouldn't be on there. I don't know if it was snuck in or whatever. There's some like scandal there. So we wound up deciding to go with those killed in action for the first run. So the first 33 are those that were KIA or, you know, died from wounds. And I think we wound up with four extra spaces. So there are four very special individuals. And I tried to stay with the concept of they have to be deceased. I know a lot of towns will have, like, yeah, I could have one for my father, and then you have your dad come with you, like, look, Dad, there's the banner I got for you. But I thought it was more important that we really pay tribute to those that are no longer with us. And then also I didn't want to have to decide between the active veterans. There's a lot of them. Like, yeah. Who would be the four? Right. Even if we were doing all 33.
Yeah. Because you know that someone's going to get left out. They're going to be upset, yeah.
Didn't want to have that on my hands. So we went with those that were killed in action or wounded in action, never made it back. And then we have Charlie Ruthberg, I can tell you now, because they're going to go up on the 9th. We have Charlie Ruthberg, who we spent his 100th birthday together. He passed away last Memorial Day. His birthday was Memorial Day. He passed away this past year at 101. Wow. We have Bob Freudenrich, who is the former borough administrator, the former Lenora. And then we had two more, and I said, we have to do Thomas Egan. The VFW is named after him. And then Mike Ennis, because he was the former command.
All right, that was a battery change. so go ahead.
So picking up where we left off. So we have our killed in action. We have a couple of more recent deceased members of the VFW. And I'm so proud of this. And on top of that, we had an Eagle Scout candidate get involved. They all have a QR code. You're going to scan it with your phone. And actually, at the Memorial Day Parade, we are going to have, we've asked that Boy and Girl Scouts be stationed under each pole.
Oh, wow.
As almost like an honor guard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll be able to talk about the person that's above them.
That's so cool.
But if you take a picture of the QR code, it's going to bring you the history of that individual. And
what an honor. That's so,
this is just so great.
Yeah.
So this is my next good thing.
And when are these going up?
These are going up November the 9th. Because the 10th is the holiday, borough offices are closed, DPW is going to be installing them the 9th, and then the 11th, I believe, is our Memorial Day.
Veterans Day.
Veterans
Day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, this November 9th?
This.
Yeah, Veterans
Day. Oh my
God. I know, it's coming up.
I'm so tired. I'm like, Veterans Day, Veterans Day, Veterans Day, Veterans Day, Veterans Day, Veterans Day. This Veterans Day, you will have banners hanging proudly, and they will stay up until the beginning of December.
That's great.
December 1st, they're going to come down, because then the holiday stuff goes up.
Well, before we wrap up, I did reach out to the community, and I said, you know, if you have any questions for the mayor, let me know. And there were a few people that responded and kind of had a, you know, the same question that they wanted me to ask. So
sure.
Their question was, one so eloquently put it, in the old days, town hall was decorated for Christmas and Hanukkah, then generically for winter. Last year, the building and property were dark, and they had, you know, the things at Kilroy's, et cetera, et cetera. So they wanted to know, you know, is that ever going to happen again, or what exactly happened? Like, why?
What happened?
Why did that all change?
So, being as that I was born and raised here, I have 47 years of experience at Glen Rock and their holidays. This was always a central business district outreach type of event. So there was a Christmas tree lighting downtown, and that was always tied into getting people to get to the stores, to shop.
That was near the train, right?
Celebrate the season, and go forward and commerce. And it was beautiful, but then that tree came down. And it was only 2 years that the borough actually, maybe it was one, possibly 2 years, the borough kind of inherited it because people were like, well, what happened? We don't have anything anymore. You can't just make a tree appear downtown. So they hosted a Winter Wonderland. And unfortunately, it was a big learning curve for me. I grew up in this town, and I born and raised a Catholic. I've shared with you, I went to St. Catherine's and Catholic high school, Catholic college. I never understood how much Santa can be polarizing. My kids love Santa. I actually have, again, the second year in a row, the fire truck goes around town with Santa on the top, and there's a local family. Don't tell anyone, Mr. and Mrs. Claus actually lives in Glen Rock. The real Santa lives in Glen Rock.
Oh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody.
So they come to my house the night of the fire truck. They read stories to the kids, and then the fire truck comes, and we're all, woo. But of course, Santa and Mrs. Claus leave before the next.
Well, they have to.
They have to. Yeah. But with that, I've actually extended that invitation to our Jewish friends, because my kids are the first to be in public school. My husband and I both went to Catholic schools our whole lives. I never realized that by bringing Santa Claus in, it may feel inclusive to a Catholic to be like, we want everyone to come and celebrate with us. But the concept that Santa only comes to the good boys and girls, I never realized how damaging that could be to a young child until I fought for having Christmas and menorah in Pepperell Hall. Some people will say separation of church and state, which I tend to disagree with, because I think that was always the idea behind that, was to make sure that the laws were not favoring one, oh, there's our train, favoring one religion over another, or making sure that our government was not founded on the principles based on a religious idea. However, when approached, I always go to the source. I want to talk to St. Catherine's Church. I want to talk to Good Shepherd Church. I want to talk to Community Church. I want to talk to the Jewish Center. I want to know how they feel about it. And from all the conversations that I've either been a part of or that I've been privy to prior, they want to keep it separate because it's not a universal thing. Christmas is a joyous celebration. Our most important holiday, of course, is Easter. Hanukkah is not their biggest holiday either. So it's kind of like give each other their own space. Mm-hmm. And at this time, there is no movement for both parties. I know people are like, but we want a tree at Brough Hall. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm hoping that we're going to have a tree. But we're not going to call it a Christmas tree. We can call it, and I just found my notes, a snowflake festival. So right now, there's a group from Bergen Community College. They have previously done a project called It's Wonderful in Westwood. If you Google it on YouTube, they've done a project for Patterson, Rutherford. It was Welcome to Westwood. Rockin' in Rutherford. Welcome to Westwood. This year, it's I'm Glad I'm in Glen Rock.
Aww.
And they are presenting us four events that they would plan for us, and then we can either take it or leave it.
For 2024.
For 2024. The first one is an open house at the museum, because they love museums. We have the wonderful Historical Society at the train station. They were suggesting a Lenni Lenape celebration at the Rock for their DEI portion of these festivities. Nice. In the summer, they thought a seniors in their 70s event with concerts and amazing ideas with that. In fall, a pumpkin festival, but they also had included a snowflake festival where you could have a winter village in Veterans Park with all, you know, craftsmen there selling their wares, with white lights, luminaries, you could have people in costumes, storytelling, and wouldn't it be great to be able to then have a beautiful winter wonderland, and we could have a tree, and that would be, but no Santa. That's just no Santa, but we could have these things happen. But it's a matter of having the right people getting these ideas and harnessing them and presenting them in a way that it is affordable and palatable to everyone.
Sure.
So by having this college course basically doing this entire, all the legwork for us, because normally this would fall on me or the council members.
Right.
I think,
and you do it in your spare time, because everybody has so much of that.
Oh, yeah, you know, because I work full-time, and I got kids, right, and a husband, right, and a dog, and...
Yeah, people also forget that this is not a high-paying gig.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It's getting dark out because, you know, I get up at 5 a.m. and I go to my office. I'm at work from 6:30 to 2:30, and then I leave at 2:30 so I can be back in town to pick my kids up at dismissal at 3:15. So for the first year ever, they're not in aftercare. And now I'm here with you. So I'm at Borough Hall nights, most nights, weekends. I stop in on Sundays for a couple hours. But, you know, this job doesn't pay well. This job pays $900 per quarter. That's another thing, people. I pay your salary.
$100 per quarter?
$900
per quarter.
Yeah. Which doesn't make a dent in my property taxes. So that's why, you know, when people are like, why are you taxing us out of here? I have to pay those taxes.
You're taxing
too,
yourself.
And that's why I need to go to work during the day.
Yeah.
Ideally, it'd be great if I didn't have to work. If I was, you know, a stay-at-home mom, or if I was retired and had a lot of time on my hands, I can't imagine how much more I could elevate this office. But I think I'm doing a pretty hell of a great job managing it all. And
Plus, you have the support of your family. That's huge.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I love the town.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you could tell.
It raised me to be a pretty good human, and I think it's raising my kids to be good humans as well, and I hope that catches on, pass it on. It's a lot. It's a lot, but I love it, and I love this town, and I love this community. And to your point, I don't need to hear the thank yous. When people send letters or they complain about a staff issue or decision making, I can take all of that. But I think it'd be really great that if you have a really good experience with a DPW director, with the people that come, sanitation comes and picks up your garbage, maybe they go above and beyond for you, send an email to their department head. Let them know you have a great experience with the building department. These are the people that are here 24 hours a day, really working for you.
Yeah.
And when they get any type of kudos, we can share it, and I invite them
to
meetings.
It's huge.
That's a good motivator.
Yeah.
Praise is a really good motivator.
Yeah.
Fear and intimidation?
Not so much.
Not so much. You know, and me with my background in the law, I kind of like, well, that's kind of an indictable offense, what you're starting to say over there, so watch it. But no, I like to lead with love, and I think that's the best motivator you can possibly do.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. I know it's already getting dark, and, you know, your family's waiting. I wish you all the best tomorrow.
Thank you.
And regardless of what happens, I wish you all the best always.
I think
what you did in Glen Rock has been awesome. You know, just the love for the community and the love for the people and love for the town, it comes through. So I wish you all the best tomorrow.
Thank you. You're my favorite.
Thank you so much. All right. Be well, everybody.
And vote.
Yes. Go out and vote.